3 of us. 10. Someone to be where another could not, to spell each other with the travel, the speaking, even the letter writing. The possibility began to haunt me day and night. It would have to be an unusual fellowship, an organism, really, rather than an organization. The less formally we were organized, the better, for if we were arrested, we would not involve each other. We would be a small band of men, women too, why not, captured by the same vision of bringing hope to the church in its need. Each of us would be a pioneer, probably not even sharing procedures and techniques, because then we would fall into a pattern that would be too easily recognized and too easily controlled. When I shared my dream with Corrie, she practically shouted with joy. "I'll be frank. Andrew, my reaction is altogether selfish. Do you realize that the four of us would be able to see you once in a while?" Immediately she was sorry she had said it. But I wasn't. Of course my long absences were hard on us all. I could actually see Hjoppe and Mark Peter and Paul Dennis grow between the time I took off and the time I came home again. Surely if I had help, these long, long trips would not be necessary. But how to go about finding the people? It wasn't that others hadn't offered from time to time. In fact, fairly often at the close of a talk, I'd find 3 or 4 eager young men standing around the rostrum. "Brother Andrew, can I join you in your work behind the Iron Curtain? God has told me, too, to preach the gospel there." Others were probably a little more honest. "It sounds so exciting," they would say. "I'd like to come just to carry your suitcases." But I had never felt free to continue these conversations. It wasn't as though I had a trick or system for getting across these borders again and again, which I could pass on to others to ensure their safety too. It was no cleverness or experience of mine that had prevented disaster so far, only the fact that every morning of every trip I consciously placed myself in God's hands and tried, in so far as possible, not to take a step outside His will. But these are not actions that one person can take for another, and so I would usually say, "Well, if I meet you behind the Iron Curtain, then by all means let's talk some more." And that would be the last I would hear of them. "Still," I said to Corrie one night, "if God wants us to expand the work, He certainly has prepared the people. How do I find them?" "Try prayer." I laughed. That was my Corrie. The one thing I had not yet done was to ask God for direct guidance to the right person. So we did pray, then and there. And immediately a name came to my mind, Hans Gruber. I had met Hans in Austria, working at a refugee camp. He was a Dutchman, a giant in size, 6 feet 7, heavy even for that height, and awkward beyond belief.